Hi, and welcome to the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I am your host, Kat Jepsen, a canine nutritionist with an innate obsession with dogs and the natural ways in which we are driven to live because of them. So, let's get to it. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I am your host, Kat Jepsen, and today I am joined by Naomi, who is a fellow canine nutritionist. Hi, Naomi.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So Naomi is joining us from Northern Ireland in Belfast, and today we're going to be chatting about how Luna's story became the foundation for helping other dogs through her business, Luna's Canine Wellness. So Naomi, to kick us off, why don't you first tell us a little bit about you and Luna?
Okay, so my name's Naomi and I am from Belfast, Northern Ireland. Luna is my dog. She is a golden retriever and she will be 5 actually in March coming. I run a canine nutrition consultation service and an online natural treat shop. And I also run a successful Facebook group called Dog Food Advice.
Ah, yes. So I am actually familiar with the Facebook group. And how long have you had that Facebook group now?
Just over a year, I think. Yeah, it was a very recent thing.
Oh, is it? Oh, it's doing really well, isn't it, to say it's so young?
Yeah, well, I think so. Hopefully it's going to grow a little bit more. I've had to bring a few admin on because there's been quite a lot of posts that's hard to keep up with, but I really enjoy doing it. I love just chatting on there.
Yeah, I know, it's great, isn't it? So I will pop a link to the Facebook group in the show notes as well so that everybody can check it out. So just before we actually get into your story, just give us a bit of a brief description of what you discuss in the Facebook group.
Yeah, so we mostly do ingredient breakdowns in there. So things like bags of kibble and treats and supplements. And I just try to give as much information as I can for free for people who are interested in learning a bit more about their dog's diet but don't necessarily want to book in for a one-to-one consultation. So we do lots of breakdowns. We also offer advice on posts where people will ask, you know, questions about what's best for this breed and this age, and give recommendations on different budgets and stuff like that. So it's just really a helpful group to try and get the advice and the education out there about looking at the nutrition on the back of the bag of food rather than just assuming that everything on the front is true.
Yeah, well, good. It's a really great resource. So if anyone does want to check it out, please do check the show notes for the link. Okay, so back to the story. What does your natural journey look like and how did it start?
Okay, so with Luna, we got her obviously at 8 weeks. She was from a breeder. And unfortunately, by the time she came to us, there was already a lot going on, mostly with skin, which we then found out later on, as we all know, is linked to the gut. So I think it was a lot of it was gut based, but it was presenting itself in the skin. So she had lots of itchy, dry skin, dandruff, hyperpigmentation. It really wasn't great. So from the day that we sort of got her, our journey started in trying to figure out what was causing this. We went the conventional route to begin with. She was on kibble. We, you know, ended up with ear infections and we had to treat those with antibiotics and stuff like that. And after probably the guts of a year, I wasn't really happy with how it was progressing. So I was actually speaking to my best friend's mum, who fed raw at the time. And I had no idea about this, and it opened my eyes to so many different options. So we first decided to
It opened the hole to the rabbit. Well, it opened the rabbit hole, basically.
Yeah, it really did. We decided to change our food. We first went on to like a raw complete because didn't really think about it being a protein thing at that time. We just thought it's not a great diet and that's what's going on. And so we moved on to a brand of raw, and that actually, do you know what? In itself, just feeding a complete actually helped enormously with her skin and everything like that. She was suffering from yeast, a lot of yeast overgrowth in the skin and the ears. So it doesn't just clear up because you've changed the diet. You need to treat that and you need to figure out is it a protein thing? Is it with her, I think it was leaky gut. I genuinely do. Because we did do elimination diets when she was quite young, probably like a year and a half. And it didn't really make much of a difference. She was on novel proteins, and I was like, well, it must be environmental. But then after researching more into it, we realized that if it was leaky gut, that naturally isn't going to happen anyways. We needed to really focus on healing the gut. So focused on that, did a lot of immune support. And now that she's, this is maybe like the last year and a half or so that's been like really intensive gut healing. She is, has been ear infection free for probably about 7 or 8 months now. Her skin is, I always say about 90% perfect, because I do think that either there's some genetic link going on, or maybe she has some environmental allergies, because sometimes she's just a little bit more itchy than you would hope, but she's by no means suffering like she was before. So yeah, my natural health journey really happened because I had no choice, which I think is the same for a lot of people. But I'm so glad. She also, unfortunately, has an autoimmune condition of her nails, which I'm sure was part and parcel why she had so many skin issues. Which was another thing that I wasn't happy with the recommended advice, that was just steroids, antibiotics, basically forever. So I worked with a holistic vet, and we ended up managing it with just vitamins, minerals, anti-inflammatories, natural products. And now that's completely managed as well. So we went from a dog, which genuinely, when she was about 2.5, was falling apart, like skin, ears, gut, nails. There couldn't have been anything else that could have went wrong in that year. And now it's, I look at her every day and I'm like, you are so much healthier than you were before. And I dread to think what she would have been like if I had have gone down the conventional route. So that's what ended up with us. And I'm so glad. So glad that my friend's mum mentioned that to me that day, because that really did spark something in me.
Yeah, I think it's like you say, it does start that way for a lot of people. I think, you know, it's not something, I mean, normally, like, well, I say normally because it's the norm for most people, but when you get a dog, you just kind of assume that you just go to the shop and just buy a bag of food for the dog, because just that's just what people do. It's not, well, there will be some people out there who sit down and research the best food to feed the dog, but I mean, most people get a dog just because they want a dog, not because they want to feed it, you know, like raw food, or, you know, start cooking meals
for absolutely.
I think it's just one of those automatic things that we do, isn't it? So, well, based on that, did you try any of the conventional methods, or did you just decide to try the dietary changes before trying them?
No, we did. We had to. She had probably a lot of medicated shampoo for the yeast in her skin, which didn't really work. Well, it worked for a period of time and then it came back. She had antibiotic ear drops and a lot of antimicrobial cleaners for each ear infection that happened, again, reoccurred. I mean, they work to clear them up. That's what those drugs do. But it wasn't figuring out why it was happening. So it was reoccurring. With her nails specifically, that was the worst, because so the condition is called SLO. And essentially, if you imagine the dog's nail, it lifted up like the bonnet of a car and left the quick exposed, and then the nail shell fell off. So this was like an exposed quick, and a lot of this happened in the summertime as well, so it was like infection city. So we ended up having to take quite a lot of antibiotics. My vet's quite good for not prescribing antibiotics and steroids for no reason. So we had the choice, you know, do you think you can keep it clean, or it's kind of, it's the middle of damp summer right now, so maybe you should take a precautionary one, so rather than forcing it on. So we tried to limit them as much as possible, but there was cases where it was clearly infected, so we had to, which then again negatively impacted her skin, because as soon as we stopped those antibiotics, the yeast went mental. So it was like, it was a constant circle. So I just thought, how do I get out of this? I can't, like, this can't continue forever, because we're just going to keep setting everything off. So after a period of doing it, and seeing that it wasn't going to get any better, being told regarding nails that realistically it'll be antibiotics every time this happens and steroids every day, forever to try and keep them from breaking. I wasn't happy and I thought there has to be other ways to manage this. So then I went looking for that support, but we did definitely try it. I think everyone who's been through something so stressful like that, even skin conditions and gut conditions, they are traumatizing to have your dog go through that. You just want to get it sorted and you trust the vet, you do trust them. And it's not until it doesn't work that you're thinking, what am I paying for? I need to maybe think about something else here. So that was the same with me for sure.
Yeah, I know, it's tough, isn't it, as well, because you sort of like get stuck in that, well, you know, I'm standing in front of an educated person who's telling me this is the best thing for my pet, and then you put in them, you put in these treatments and things on your pet, and then it's still not getting any better, and then they just keep telling you to do the same thing with no results. So then you kind of feel like, well, what do you actually do from there? And I think that's the same for a lot of people, isn't it? Like you say, the drugs do work, but only for a short amount of time, and it doesn't always necessarily get rid of what's actually going on inside. So
yeah, absolutely.
At this point then, was, so where did this kind of like lead you? Is this what prompted you to start studying canine nutrition?
Yeah, I think from the very beginning, specifically, so I got her home, and I would say probably about 6 months, this all kicked off, the ears started and all of this, and we started looking into the food. She was on kibble. She'd only ever been on 2 kibbles in her life, which I'm so glad I can just say that, because sometimes people go through bags and bags and bags and bags of kibble hoping that one of them makes things better. I had her on the brand that she came home on, and then we tried one more, and then after that I was like, do you know what, we'll just do the raw because we might as well give it a chance. So at that point, that's when I started researching, well, what is the difference here? Why is this raw good? Why is the kibble not in this circumstance? And that's what led me into looking at the ingredients. So I had a Instagram account, Luna's Golden Adventures, just for photographs of my dog, like a lot of people have. So on there, I started to just post what I learned. So I was saying, you know, here's an article about this, and this is why this ingredient's not good, and talking about poor quality meat meal and carbohydrates. And when I was doing all this, I was just sharing it really because I wanted my account to be like a little hub for people who could come and see this information for free, because I was spending hours and hours researching this information, going to different Facebook groups, going to different reading books and amalgamating it all together. And I just thought, why is there not a resource available where I can just go and look at this, and it's all in the same place? So I wanted to create it, so started posting about all of that, and that led into people actually asking for my advice through messages on Instagram. And at that point it was just like, you know, you seem to know a lot about this, so have you any advice? And I was helping people, and eventually it snowballed very quickly. I think I started that, maybe I started it when she was a puppy, but I didn't post much, so I'd say probably like 3.5 years ago, something like that. It started to snowball, and I worked as a beauty therapist at the time, and I would like go to the bathroom on my break, and I was replying to all these people trying to help them with their dogs, and I thought, this cannot continue. My boss was like, why are you always in the toilet? Like, you need to come out of here. Why are you always in the staff room? So I was like doing 2 jobs at the same time. So, and we used to talk all the time and work when there was no clients and chat in between. And every time it was dogs, dogs, dogs. They used to just be like, anything else to say about dogs? I'm like, well, yes, actually. I think they knew that I was going to end up changing careers. But so when it snowballed to the point where I thought, wow, I'm spending most of my working day that I'm being paid for doing a different job, I think I need to like a change in this career here. So
that's amazing.
Then I took the plunge, which was very, very scary, to start my own business, and then started offering these things as actual paid for services.
Well, that's good. And I think, you know, it's so scary to launch your own business, like as a, you know, as just by yourself as well, and to try and build it from the bottom up. And I think, you know, one thing you've got on your side is just your passion to help the other dogs, which you can, you know, you can tell in everything that you say that that is your main goal in life. It's like you've suffered with this problem for so long and seen your dog suffer from so much that all you want to do now is just shout about it to everybody so that they don't have to do the same. So, you know, it's amazing. Well done you.
Thank you.
So that's basically how it's changed your life then, isn't it? Has it changed your life in any other ways, would you say?
Yeah, I think it's given me a lot of confidence. I was just thinking about this when I was thinking about coming on this podcast, and genuinely when I was in sixth year and I was thinking about what I wanted to do, I couldn't find anything in uni that I was like, that's what I want. I just thought I have to choose something, so I might as well choose. And I wanted to work with kids because I quite like working with kids, and I thought, you know, I'll be a nursery school teacher or something like that. And it wasn't, I wasn't passionate. It was like, that'll be fine, I suppose that'll be what I do. Then I sacked that off halfway through and was like, don't want to do that anymore. Left and trained to become a beauty therapist, which was like 3 years of training for that and school and whatever. Did that, and I did enjoy doing that, but again, it was like something I was good at that I could take or leave. I didn't have the passion. And when I was thinking of this interview, I just, all I could think is, I didn't realize that I didn't have passion for any of my jobs until I found this job. And I actually consider myself very lucky, because most people don't work in a field that they're actually passionate about. It's more of just, you need to make money.
Yeah, definitely.
And just, it's really changed my life in a way that I love working. I work all day, every day. There's not a second that I'm not doing something, which is probably extremely unhealthy, but I love it so much. It's like my hobby and my work.
I think it is great that it's not work, is it, when you love it so much? So I think it probably is healthy, because I mean, that's one of the reasons why I love doing these podcasts, is because I just love talking about dogs, and I love learning about everybody's story and the reasons why, you know, they're on the path that they are. And I completely relate to that. I mean, I have had so many jobs in my life. I mean, I'm 34 now, and I bet I've had over 10 different jobs, and I have not been happy in any of them. And I mean, I went to uni and did psychology, and then I started working in the mental health sector with children, because I, you know, I thought I was passionate about psychology and wanted to be a psychologist and help children. And the passion just wasn't there. Like, I still wasn't happy in work. And then when I fell down the rabbit hole, I started up the pet shop, and we made organic shampoos, because I was just sick of finding chemical ridden products for dogs on the shelves. So that like started the pet shop. And then it was from there that I actually discovered it wasn't, you know, the retail side of dogs, it was actually the nutrition side of dogs. So, and I'm like you, like now I could just sit and talk about it all day long, and I'm pretty sure everybody in the house gets pretty bored of it.
Oh, 100%. I've recently learned you need to surround yourself with a group of friends who are also the same, so that your other normal friends and family don't get sick of you.
Yeah,
you can just talk about dogs with those other people.
Yeah, it's the truth. It is. It really is. Oh wow, that's amazing. But no, I love that you're so passionate about it, and you can tell with everything that you say, how you talk about it all, it just shines through. And that's, you know, why you're so good at what you do. So has there been, obviously aside from Luna's health issues, have there been any downfalls or struggles during your journey?
Yeah, I think just sort of the same, the confidence type thing, that actually starting my business was terrifying. And then like about 6 months, it's like 6 months in, I had so much confidence. I was like, oh wow, people are saying I'm great. I was like, I'm not scared anymore. I've made the right decision. I'm so happy doing this.
Yeah.
And then it came to the point where then you sort of get to the level where you're talking to vets and other nutritionists, and you're in a group of peers. And then I was like, oh no, I'm scared again. Because the thing is that I'm only 23, and genuinely the worst thing about it, and the most, I wouldn't say it's a downfall, but the thing that is the most negative about it, is people like sometimes think that education and knowledge is simply based on age. So when I was speaking, when I used to speak to vets, like you'd have these middle-aged men that are like, no, well, I know because I've been doing this for 30 years. And I'm like, Yeah, but I know what I'm talking about because I've researched it. But they're like, but you know, like, I've been doing it for longer than you're alive, and you're thinking like, it's not
a
normal answer to say to someone. Like, it's so rude, and I just felt very like, immature in that way, where I just felt I know what I'm talking about, and the only thing that is holding me back is that the way that people see me regarding my age.
Yeah,
and that's the only issue I have. There's so much positive feedback on the industry in general, and it's really growing in the last few years. Yeah. But I think that, I think people need to just focus on the positives of everything that's going on. And there's so many people like yourself and other people that are doing this, and everyone knows their stuff. Like, you don't get into this industry and make like a little bit of a name for yourself and have no idea what you're talking about. Like, these people research and spend hours of their day like getting to the bottom of all of these things. I just think that I think people need to appreciate the industry more genuinely.
Yeah, they do. And do you know what annoys me as well? Like, it's not a competition between nutritionists. Like, you know, everybody is in, you know, everybody just wants the same thing. We all just want to help dogs. And, you know, people do have different opinions, but that's absolutely fine. Like, you know, you do you and I do me. That's how I see it. And I think people are like all warped up about, you know, knowledge comes with age and experience and education, but it isn't always the case. And if you've got a lived experience of something, then that is your knowledge and your education as well. And like you say, like, you have spent hours researching everything, and I know I've definitely read about a million books and, you know, researched a million things, and that's even before I even got on this path. And you sort of like prep yourself onto it. And I do think people do kind of disregard that aspect of it. But and it is, it's one of the saddening things in the canine nutrition industry, because we should all be bringing each other up rather than, you know, trying to target and tear each other down. Definitely.
Absolutely. I think like the younger generation, I probably am the younger generation. But I feel like when you go, if you imagine going to a vet, I used to imagine going to a vet of like a 40-year-old man, and now you go to vets that are like 25-year-old women, and you're going, this is like the fresh new stuff that you want. So there's so many people around my age getting into canine nutrition, and I just think in 10 years' time, how amazing is this industry going to be? Because ideally you want these fresh new faces coming in. You don't want someone, you know, that's been doing it for 60 years and then like that's all you have. There's no options after that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You need to have these new people. I think we should all definitely be encouraging each other. There's this ridiculous thing of like, especially on social media, you know, like blocking people so they can't see what you post and all this stuff. And there is so many unwell dogs in the world that we're not going to be taking each other's clients here. There's enough to go around.
Yeah.
And it's so important to just celebrate that these people care as much as you and are interested. And there's enough people that are going to say that you're mental for thinking all of this about fresh food and natural health. You might as well hold on to the people who actually understand.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, it is, it's, and because there's so many different conflicting opinions and different approaches to canine nutrition, it's like you say, the thing is though, there's enough people in each of the different areas who have supporters in each of those different areas. So why can't everybody just like smile and wave, you know, and get along? Oh, it can be terrible, can't it? Social media at times.
Yeah.
Oh, so following that, what's the best thing about your natural journey and what you've learned along the way?
I would say the best thing is that my dog is no longer just in a horrible state every day. Like, I'm just so glad that I've got her to this place, because I mean, I doubted myself throughout this whole time. Luna's case is genuinely, with the amount of clients that I have had to date, I have never had a case so hard compared to the one that I did first, which was my dog. And I had to just learn on my feet, and I had, you know, to just trial and error with these things, which taught me so much. But genuinely, I'm just so glad that we've got to that point, and it's just a testament that these things do work. I think I've learned mostly that, like, you do really need to do your own research. It's really sad, but if I could say one thing to pet owners, like, they need to look at so many different resources, speak to so many different people, and make your opinion. You can't just trust that you'll go to a pet shop owner or a vet or even a nutritionist and that their opinion is going to be the right thing to do. I think if you apply common sense to it and you've spoken to enough people, you start to see things going, hold on, that made absolutely no sense what he said, because those other five people disagree.
Yeah.
And you can figure it out. And that's what I try to be. I try to be with my Facebook group and my Instagrams, just a free resource for people. Like, you plant the little seed in their head about these different ways, so that they're not going, well, I mean, I've spoken to the vet and the person in the pet shop, and they both said that this bag of kibble was brilliant and that's what you need to do. And, well, hold on a minute, I saw someone on Instagram, and then they fall into that little rabbit hole, and then they go, well, that didn't make sense what that person told me last week, because I've just read this. So yeah. I think getting that information out there and trying to educate people, because people do really need to put so much effort in, which I think is so unfair.
Yeah,
because you should be able to just trust professionals in whatever industry to have the most, you know, up-to-date knowledge. And somehow dogs and cats and animals are just, it's sometimes just the opposite of what you really should be doing.
Yeah. And
yeah, so I try to, you know, provide that information so people have another place to go and look to try and get a bit of difference of opinion.
Yeah, and that it's easily accessible for them as well, because people are lazy. They are.
Yeah.
People don't want to do the research. But the thing is, if you immerse yourself in enough of these groups, you know, like if you join several groups or you follow several people on social media, it is not hard to see this information every day. Like, you wouldn't even have to go looking for it. It would just present itself to you, and you'd be able to read it, you know, when you're doom scrolling on your phone, which everybody does at some point during the day. So, I mean, I would always recommend that you read some of the books that have been written by, you know, different veterinarians and different researchers and things like that. But I mean, if that's not your thing, there are other ways to access this information. But no, I agree. I think it's, if you have a dog, it is your responsibility to go out and learn about the best way that you can accommodate to their needs. Without a shadow of a doubt, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So my next question was, if you had anything you would say to other pet parents who may be struggling, what would it be? So would that be advice, or do you have any more?
I mean, what I had prepared was to say, just take the plunge, because I think, I mean, a lot of people are so overwhelmed by it, understandably, because you've came from, you know, I think that this kibble is this, I was told to do this, and now you're being told, no, don't do that. Everything you learned was wrong. You need to relearn everything. And they're going, oh my goodness, I can't absorb that information. I just want to feed my dog, go to work and come home and be normal, please. Like, I don't want this insane thing that you've just told me I have to do. So it can be really overwhelming, but well, I think what I try to do when I speak to people, my favorite thing to do is send a voice note. If anyone speaks to me on social media, I hate having to type, because you just can't explain to people in a conversational way through message. I just send a voice note and I'm like, listen, talk to me normally here. This is what you need to do. This is what you don't need to do. It's not that big of a deal. Just try it. It's not going to be the end of the world. If you don't like it, that's fair enough. But don't be so scared of trying something, because you've built it up so much in your head.
Yeah.
I always say to people, like, kibble and processed food is food that was made specifically to feed your dog. It's not food that existed when dogs were, you know, first bred from wolves, which means that it can't be the only thing your dog can survive on. Your dog can definitely survive on other things. So with that aside, try the other things and see what happens. See if it's better, see if it's worse. Just give it a try. It's not hard to feed an animal the same way that you feed yourself, because that's how everyone survives. I mean, if we were eating, you know, processed food that was made specifically for convenience for us, we wouldn't think that that's, you know, that's what humans need to survive. We'd think, well, they can eat that, but really we should be surviving on, you know, foods that existed when we existed, not foods that were made hundreds of years after we, you know, developed.
Yeah.
So I think that if people just forget, you just need to forget about everything and you just need to try it. I think just take the plunge. Obviously, don't do silly things like just one day decide you're going to feed raw and go out and buy it and throw it down to a dog who's been unwell. Speak to someone on how to transition correctly, but don't build up the idea so much in your head that you're too scared to do it.
Yeah, I think I do agree. I think a lot of people do tend to like, they build it up as this massive thing. But like you say, it's not like you're committing for life, is it? Like if you could try it for a week or and see how your dog likes it and see if you like it, see if, you know, you see any changes. And then if you want to, you can go back to what you were doing before. I think everybody just thinks, you know, once they've taken the plunge, there's no going back. But you are the creator of your own life. So it's completely up to you. Yeah, I like that bit of advice. That is good advice. So do you have any plans for the future regarding the business or anything else for that matter?
Everyone always has plans of where they would like to be. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to win the lottery first, and then I think a lot of those plans would come a lot quicker, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, mostly I think, so this year I'm doing like I normally do, attending conventions, going to different expos, and I love an excuse for a holiday. Like I'll be there, I'll say I'm going for work, and then I'll take another 4 days traveling around doing whatever I want because it's an excuse to go. So I love meeting up with people. I love going to different conventions and different conferences and just being around people that their brain, people who are just into nutrition, their brain just works differently. Like yeah. It's just like I'm with my people. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah. I love going to those, and I have plans for meeting up at those. I just took on some brand reps for my business.
I'm
gonna give you all your names because we'll be here all day. But on Instagram, so a few of those guys as well are really interested in nutrition, and that was something that I was looking for. I didn't want just people, you know, promoting your products. Anybody can do that. I want people to join my little like crazy group chat where I can just talk all the time about nutrition, and then these people maybe want to come with me to these conventions and build friends. I think that in this industry, you sound crazy when you talk to normal people, so you have to try and find people that are on your level.
So
I decided to look for brand reps, bring them on, and then hopefully in the future I would like to take on some people to work alongside me. So if anyone was interested in doing that, I think that the best place to find them would be dog Instagram, genuinely.
Yeah,
I don't know how you would place an ad for a canine nutritionist to come work with you in the general public, because I don't think anyone would ever apply for it. So I think Instagram, though, there's so many people that are so passionate about it. So yeah, I'm just looking to build my little community of people on the Facebook group and stuff like that, and try and just make this little community of people that are like-minded into something that maybe I can offer jobs to in the future. I can look at, you know, we've lots of admins actually coming on to the Facebook group soon where people just want to learn. So they're like, can I, you know, come on and answer what I know, but then leave the other stuff that I don't know to other people? And I was like, yes, that's how you learn. I wish someone had offered that to me.
Yeah.
So I'm really just wanting to build my kind of little community and stuff like that, and just sort of get my name out there. I've been, I also sell natural treats and supplements, which I probably don't promote enough, to be honest. But I'm going to get those all rebranded. I'm getting the most gorgeous tubs for my supplements to be rebranded into, and sort of maybe start doing a few more markets and getting out there in regards to just the general public that wants a little bit of normal advice on, you know, treats or supplements and stuff like that, rather than full consultation type things.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you've got so much going on, and I bet you're just too busy talking about nutrition to focus on the treats.
Genuinely, like I always say, I need like an extra day in the week just to get through the amount of work that I'm currently doing. Never mind trying to figure out anything that's coming next. It's so much, isn't it?
I know, tell me about it. I'm trying to build a whole learning platform about canine nutrition whilst looking after my toddler during the day, and I'm sort of like working from 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. and then like from 5 a.m. till 7 a.m. So I don't get much time during the day, but like I have to cram it in all the way around. But it's just what we do, isn't it? I think it's just, you've just got to do it.
That's another thing, saying about a learning platform. I was thinking about things like that myself, but what I thought that would be really helpful in bringing everyone together is some form of online thing where we can work, you know, dog trainers, we can work groomers, other nutritionists, and kind of just like, I don't know, like create this like mega like collection of people that pushes the word out there. Because I was speaking to a lot of trainers and they've said, you know, we know a certain amount of information that the diet is definitely affecting this dog. And I think that somehow linking all of these different pet professions and small businesses especially together would be so beneficial. I think so definitely looking into doing something like that. If anyone listening has any ideas of wanting to get involved, like I'm so open for working with other small businesses.
Well, I'll definitely be involved. we'll have to put some ideas down and see what we can muster up. But now I think to have a community of like-minded professionals as well who are going to bring each other up instead of trying to drag each other down is definitely what we need in this space right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you've got some exciting stuff going on. Do you have any plans to come to the UK? Well, come to England.
Oh, yeah. I'm all the time. I'm going to the Natural Dog Expo, which is in May.
Oh, I'm that going there.
Oh, amazing. It'll be so good to meet you in
person. Yeah.
I'll also probably be at the Raw Feed and Veterinary Society and the conference.
Wales. Yeah. Yes.
So nice that it's in Wales. I haven't been to Wales. I was gonna go, so I'm going to the Natural Dog Expo and then we're gonna drive up to Scotland and spend a few days there after, me and my friend. And we were gonna go to Wales because I've never been, and then I saw that they're having it in Wales and I thought, yes, holiday in Wales, like absolutely a little staycation.
It's so, fate, it's absolute fate.
It is.
Right, well, that all sounds amazing. So the main point of information now, I think, for everybody is where can they find you if they either want to access your Facebook group or if they want to book directly in with you or if they just want to have a little nosy around at your Instagram.
Yeah, so I'm probably the most active on Instagram. So Luna's Canine Wellness on Instagram, you can find me. And I love to just post lots of stuff in my stories. That's my favorite thing. Message me anytime, genuinely love to just chat about dogs. I also have a Facebook page, Luna's Canine Wellness, where you can have a little look on there. My Facebook group is called Dog Food Advice, so you can join. It's a private group, and feel free to post any questions, or even if you post, you know, could you have a little look at this food, and then I will look at the ingredients and get back to you and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm also on TikTok, which I'm really trying to grow, because I did it last year and then I stopped, and the TikTok algorithm does not like you stopping for a few months.
Oh.
And it does not like me anymore. So if you follow me on there, Luna's Canine Wellness, I post lots of different videos of me making Luna's food and adding different ingredients in and sort of that meal and spoon type thing. So
I just can't figure TikTok out. Like, I feel like I've only just figured the reels out on Instagram, and even there, just, you know, I'm just basically having a go.
It's actually exhausting. Like, TikTok is exhausting to create the content. Like, you have to do it every single day, and I don't know how people keep up with it. It's their whole job. You might as well just leave your job and just become like a person who makes TikToks. It takes that much out of you.
I know, and I just like the same content that works well on Instagram just doesn't work on TikTok, and I have no idea how it actually works or what you're supposed to post, like, for people to see it or anything. So I did have an account when I used to have the pet shop, but that's just like gone stagnant, and I haven't even started a Be More Dog one yet because I just don't have the energy for it.
Yeah, I know. I think there's so many people on it now that it just, I mean, I used to post the videos of me adding the different ingredients in, and they went viral. Like, some of them had millions of hits. And now,
oh, really?
Like 303 views on the same thing. And I'm like, what has gone wrong, though? Because I haven't changed what I'm doing. Like, so what is happening? Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's fallen out with you because you haven't been giving it attention.
That's it. That is it.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining me this evening, Naomi. It's been such a pleasure to speak to you and to get to know you a little bit more, and obviously to learn about your exciting plans. And I am definitely looking forward to working together with you in the future at some point. So I will definitely will take you up on that.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, it's good. And I do, you know, everybody that's listening, I will put all of Naomi's links in the show notes so that you can have a little look, have a nosy around. Do you have a website as well?
Yes, I do. It is lunascaninewellness.com.
Okie dokie. So we'll put that on there as well. So thank you ever so much. And we will catch up with you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another great episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. Don't forget to check out the caption for any links discussed here today. And please, if you enjoyed the show, follow along and listen for free on your favourite podcast app. If you have any questions or would like to share your story, feel free to email me at mydogmademeduitnaturally@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Purpose of this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be substituted as advice from a veterinarian or other professional. It does not form a client relationship with me, the host, or any guest speakers, and any information is not intended to and does not diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. And my guests express our own views, thoughts, and opinions as individuals, and the podcast neither endorses or opposes the views, products, or services discussed here. If your pet is ill, always seek advice from your veterinarian. I am not a veterinarian and I do not treat disease or offer medical advice.